The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm joined by Mark Hennessy, the Ireland and Britain editor of the Irish Times, and Bianca Likes, the editor-in-chief of VIP magazine. There is much to talk about in the news this weekend, ranging from Mpox and the threat of it being upgraded through to Michael O'Leary saying we could be looking at a grand to fly to London this winter. And as I mentioned before the break, Gráinne Seoighe and her decision, apparent decision, so confirmed by Eamon O'Queeve, that she wants to head for the All-Ireland. And before that, the story that is making the front of all of the papers is about the attack on that army chaplain, Father Paul Murphy, who thankfully is doing as well as could be expected. He underwent surgery yesterday afternoon and put out a statement saying, "Friends, thank you for your prayers, love and concern. Sorry that I can't reply to all messages and take all the calls coming my way. All will be well." And there's a lot of speculation as to what the motivation was for that stabbing. The front of the Irish Examiner, terror link to stabbing probed. The Daily Mail, teenager planned attack on chaplain for days. And Mark, your own paper, boy lay in wait to attack army chaplain.
Yes, indeed. And obviously it's a story that everybody needs to be careful with and to watch where they're getting their information from. 16-year-old from Galway. He is still being questioned by Gardaí in the presence of his mother. The Gardaí raided the house. They took laptops and phones and whatever. It does appear that they were monitoring him for some time because of some public posts that he had put up. And he appears to have got very exercised about Mali and the Irish Army's involvement in Mali. Now, we're down to just 8 soldiers there, but he seems to have been watching a lot of ISIS-related material, allegedly. So all of this will be confirmed or not as the time goes on. Clearly, the sentry on duty in Renmore behaved spectacularly well, given that this literally came 0-60 in a matter of seconds, and reacted really well, fired 5 warning shots, produced his baton. The youth was disabled and arrested. So from the point of view of military security, everybody did their job.
And that's a sentiment being expressed by the Lieutenant General Chief of Staff, Sean Clancy, who is, of course, the head of the Defence Forces. He says that the response of the army sentries was, quote, exemplary, swift and decisive, and that there is no doubt that their actions were critical in preventing further harm or loss of life. And as you say, there is little that can be done in terms of speculation until we know the detail, and we need to be careful, therefore, about going too far with it. So we will park that there. The other stories then making the news. What do you make, Bianca Likes, of the possibility of us having to call Gráinne Seoighe Deputy Seoighe?
Oh, I think she's well suited for the job. When actually news kind of broke on, I think on the Thursday about it, and I got some type of email from one of the bookmakers saying that their odds were on 4-1 that she was
just
going to be running.
Sit on that mic a little bit, Bianca.
Oh, sorry, yeah. That she was going to be running. I instantly took a screenshot of the thing, sent it to her, and said, "Well, what do you reckon?" And she sent me back an emoji saying, a laughing emoji. So I presumed it was a joke of forms. But I think she'd be absolutely wonderful. I mean, she started her career, so many years ago, started in TV3, then on to, TG Cahir had started. She was there at the very beginning for TV3. Sky News.
She's a Spittle native originally, isn't she?
Absolutely, Spittle, yeah. And I think that's where she'd be probably running from. She spoke about how life has taken the edges off her and how it has, life is kind of like a stream and you're like a pebble and it takes the edges off you, rounds you as you go through life. And I think she'd be a wonderful representative, a Gael Gore. And well-versed, smart, bright, well able to control herself, maintain herself, represent herself. I think she'd be cool.
Now, the last time that we had a significant broadcast figure run for the Dáil, if I remember correctly, Mark, was when George Lee won the seat for Fine Gael and discovered after a number of months that he hated it beyond countenancing and legged it back to RTE. Would Gráinne Seoighe like being a TD, do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think she's much more fitted for it. I remember being at George's first press conference and thinking, there are many things in life that a talented fellow such as this should do, but this isn't the job for him. And I think it worked out like that. It was a uniquely miserable experience for him. And it isn't a job for everybody. But I think, just to echo what was said, I think any party in the state would take her hand off if she was to knock on their door. She's got profile. She's clearly bright.
Now, whatever about the latter, does the former matter? Because my understanding was that the profile elections were things like the Europeans and the presidentials, where a bit of celebrity shine was very useful to get new elected, but that in constituency, particularly parliamentary constituency politics, you were as well to have been out knocking doors as to be famous.
Yeah, but I everything that I know about her would, and I don't know her personally, but everything that I know about her would indicate that she has kept her Galway roots. She's very local in a large element of her life. So she won't have forgotten how to knock a stand outside Spittle Church, you know, and do some of the basics. It does, if it were to happen, it would give Fianna Fáil an opportunity to take, or at least to contest for a second seat in that constituency. So that would be no mean success, because Eamon McKeeve is stepping down. Connemara is very much his heartland.
Is that growing and ringing?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And I think this is the second time in a while I've done this, so my apologies. There's a Connemara Fianna Fáil vote. So, you know, get a proper candidate out of there and you never know what might be possible.
What about the absence, though, of glitz and glam? Because this is a woman who has spent her life in the spotlight.
She'll bring the glitz and glam to it. That's the whole thing.
Bring your glitz and glam to knocking on doors and handing out leaflets in the middle of a windy February.
But you know what? She doesn't even need to bring glitz and glam, because it's just innate in her. She's just, you know, she's such a beautiful face, such a beautiful girl. Both the showbiz are. And it's funny because we did a cover there recently, June just passed, for our 25th anniversary. And on the cover, Bráinne Seoighe was featured. And I did an interview with her. And I thought the interview afterwards was really interesting, because she sounded different. There was not a political leaning, but she spoke very eloquently about how Ireland has changed in the last 25 years, because our piece was about VIP being 25 years old. And, you know, like, I mean, I just have pulled up the interview here now, and, you know, she was talking about how socially Ireland has changed in the past 25 years, that we were a lot more secular now, people are a lot less ashamed of what, you know, we suffered in silence before, about the Magdalen laundries, how, you know, about the divorce referendum. And I just thought, this is a different Gráinne. There's something here.
This was Gráinne preparing her pitch for me.
Yes, it was. And then she spoke about the pebble, and I just thought, that's such a beautiful analogy. Like, I love that, because life does take the edges off us. It does smoothen us.
There's an interesting piece in the Indo by Senna Maloney saying that it's possible that Gráinne may be the start of a series of these kind of announcements. He cites Cynthia Murdoch, who of course now has MEP attached to her name. Likewise, Kieran Mullooly in the same kind of position. As we come into the general, are we going to see a clatter of this?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, Cynthia Murdoch kept very much her head down during the campaign, although she was practically front and centre by comparison with what Nina Carberry did in Leinster, a campaign that, you know, was question free in a way that I, you know, personally, I think if anybody wants to run for political office, then they should have enough gumption and skill to take the questions. I would have thought Seoighe is going to be, whatever else, is going to be capable of doing that. So I don't know. Maybe there are other people who from the world of TV or whatever, who are interested in it. But we'll see as time goes on. But you know, from Fianna Fáil's point of view, assuming this is accurate, assuming that there isn't some sort of local rebellion in Galway West to put her off in favour of a favoured local councillor or whatever. And I rather doubt if that's going to be the outcome, quite frankly.
Other news then, Michael O'Leary, there's a lot of price inflation in Michael O'Leary's predictions of how much it's going to cost to get to London, because he was only 2 days ago, it was about 500 quid. He's up to 1,000 by next week. It'll be €1.5 million.
Yeah.
But he's saying that it'll be potentially €1,000 to get to London on Ryanair if this passenger cap isn't lifted in Dublin Airport.
Well, there'll be no shopping trips to London for Christmas if that's the case. And VIP will certainly not be going to London to do any photo shoots if that's the case either.
The ferry looks awful tempting then at that kind of price, doesn't it? It's not that land to get there on a boat.
No, we just have to be doing everything on Irish soil, which is no harm. Maybe we just need to keep our business local anyway. Maybe that's where we're going, you know, in terms of climate crisis and everything. Maybe that's all down the road. Maybe that's all coming. Maybe that's what this is all about. But I mean, I was talking to Mark inside just about, you know, the capping of the passengers in Dublin Airport. And I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I understand the plight of people locally around the airport. You don't want more planes landing. It is fiercely loud. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But
presumably £1,000 is off the reservation, isn't it? I mean, any prospect of that?
It couldn't possibly. I mean, I think he's prone to exaggeration.
Michael,
no. Yeah, but it raises. I'm slightly confused about the story because there are some different figures. The cap is 32 million given in 2007. Airlines have long said that that's ridiculous and it needs to rise to 40 million. The people who are planning the third terminal say want 60 million. The current figures based on the winter outcomes that the Dublin Airport Authority has given to the airport seem to be below the 32 million, unless I'm adding up these figures incorrectly. So at some point, we're going to have to make a choice as to what are our priority routes. And obviously Dublin Heathrow and the UK ones are, and the business routes. And do we want a situation where we end up paying more to fly to Heathrow than we pay for a summer flight to Faro? Which is more important? Because whether we have this problem today or 5 years from now or whatever, airline places and slots are going to end up being rationed. Climate change is already there. All of this is going to impact our lives in the future. And we're going to have to be a bit more sensible about it. But you can take it for granted that the airlines are going to indulge in whatever bit of price gouging they can get away with, you know?
Well, Michael O'Leary says that he has little choice, that if the amount of the prospect to go in to sell bulk tickets is unavailable, he'll just have to increase the price of the tickets that he is able to sell. And we're looking at, do you believe 500,000?
Well, he's every choice in the world. He's the one who sets the price of the figure.
Well, there'll be empty flights, though, you know. So, I mean, it's not going to last for very long, is it?
You have to search a long time to find a semi-empty ride. Yeah, no,
I mean, unless you're going to Portugal. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, maybe it's going to be time restrictive because, I mean, certainly I think the most popular route in the summertime would be the likes of a Malaga flight or a Faro flight because they're those big planes that they're filling.
Just on that point, we were talking about this earlier, and given that there are understandable annoyances on the part of people living within the vicinity of Dublin Airport, if you're living anywhere south of Thurles, it is quicker to get to Cork Airport than it is to get to Dublin Airport. Cork Airport is nowhere near operating at capacity. The same goes for Shannon. The airlines don't like them. Now, I'm sure they've all got all sorts of good reasons as to why, because perhaps it interferes with their wider networks or whatever. But if you're able to pack flights out of Cork or Shannon, somebody should be making money out of it.
If you want to get in touch, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. If you don't want to spend the 30 cent, you can do it for free. 087 1400 106. Text say, pity we couldn't use Weston Airport or something like that for 30 or so flights a day from the UK or for certain destinations and with a bus to Lewis City West so people can get to the city centre, etc. As far as I know, I think Weston's runway is slightly too short for a 737. If it wasn't, I think Michael O'Leary would long ago have expressed a fairly significant interest
We could always use Balldonnell.
The other story that is an interesting one is this one. Did you see this, Bianca, about the bars where there is prospect that 100 pubs are going to end up becoming 300 houses, which says a lot about the sort of pub trade in Ireland and says a lot about the housing crisis.
Yeah, it does. It's wonderful news. I mean, any type of opportunity to get houses into anywhere is wonderful. But it does say a lot about, our sociability and how we're not going out as much as we used to, obviously. So fantastic news. I see that it's broken down into a number of different territories, as in a number of different regions seem to be able to have a different proportion of houses that they're going to be able to install. But yeah, fantastic.
And is it predominantly rural? Is this small villages where the pub has died out, or does it specify?
I don't think it specifies, Mark. No. They're fairly vague at the moment in terms of the figures. But wonderful opportunity.
Wonderful opportunity or ad hoc solution that guts?
Well, I mean, it raises a much wider problem about which I could rant for some time. Every local authority in the state should hang their heads in shame over the way in which local towns and villages have been managed and developed over the last 30, 40 years. If you drive through any town or village in the state at night time, in winter time, and look for the lights that are on upstairs, you'll find very few. most of the properties are empty from the point of view of accommodation. There are shops downstairs or whatever, but they're dead upstairs. And there must be ways. Are there derelict? I was in Glenties recently for the McGill Summer School, a village that won the Tidy Town competition several times during the 1990s. It now has 7 or 8 derelict buildings and a clatter load more that are gone to Airbnb. And you can replicate that sort of dereliction problem all over the state. And it is very simple, or it should be very simple, for local authorities to create a register of unused or underutilised or derelict buildings in their county, and simply go and knock to somebody and say, do you want a grant or do you want a CPO?
CPO? As in, we'll take it off you?
Yeah. Why not? I mean...
What about the rights to personal property, Martha? Surely our constitution prevents you nicking my house.
No, we have compulsory legislation. It's there. We have a situation where we have a rash. I mean, you look at Galway, for instance, and you look at the destruction that Galway County Council have allowed to take place with one-off housing 20 and 30 miles outside Galway. I mean, the place is like littered with houses. You have villages that are dying, and you have there comes a price point where it would make sense for young families to live in villages and walk their children to the primary school 300 yards down the road or the gap pitch 250 yards down the road, rather than building a house 10 miles outside the town and spending the next 20 years as taxi drivers for their kids.
Is it a taxation issue? Because if you look at the American model, where property taxes are one of the most significant taxes that are levied on most people living in the States, there is a huge incentive, therefore, to use land because it costs you to hang on to it in a way that it doesn't here.
Well, yeah. But I mean, we already have derelict site taxes, but they're not used.
They're insignificant.
They're insignificant, and where they are being used, they're only being used to a tiny extent. I mean, it should be very clear. It should be socially and morally unacceptable for somebody to have a property that's vacant for years. And then there's a wider thing that about probate, for instance, and how long it takes to get probate finished in this state. With 40,000 people a year dying, with 40,000 houses roughly tied up in probate for a year or 18 months. You know, so there are ways in which a lot of these things could be freed up.
You've offended people in the real capital market, text saying Cork Airport is grand the way it is. If you want to get in touch, 53106. Likewise, by the way, if you have issues with probate or anything along those lines, Sonia McEntee, our legal expert, is going to be with us in a while. So 53106 or 87409.
My record going through Cork Airport from being dropped at the front door to being on an aircraft is 9 minutes.
That's not bad going.
That's not bad going.
We were talking earlier about Electric Picnic. Will either of you be attending? Bianca, will you be heading down immediately?
Immediately after this? No, I'm not attending this year, but I have gone over the years and I've worked at many, many, many of them down through the years. And I mean, it's fantastic crap. But I was I was looking at figures there the other day, and 1/3 of festival goers, and this is in the UK, but it's obviously similarly represented here, are over 40. So there you go. 1/3 are over 40. And if you looked at the footage of even Glastonbury there recently, the majority of the people are our age, our vintage. So,
Are you using that as a way to demonstrate that festivals are for the aged in a way that we didn't think they were?
Yeah, because you probably presumed that because it's all muck and, you know, late nights and tents and lots of cans of beer or whatever, that, you know, nobody would be interested in going. But of our age.
What about you, Mark? Are you heading down?
No, I'm not. I was joking with a few of my pals who are going to AC/DC in Croke Park.
Yes,
on foot of the
night. Yeah,
the information note that they produced, that chairs and collapsible chairs and something, it wasn't Zimmer frames, but it was something along that lines, were banned from being brought into the stadium. So I think it says a lot for everybody who was 18 in the 1980s, you know.
I am going to a festival next week, actually a menopause festival down in, actually it's in Strad Valley as well. So that's the type of festival I'll be now attending.
What is a menopause festival?
It's a 2 days wellness festival with the beautiful glamping tents, the lot, and you drink cacao and you do drumming circles and you listen to wellness talks and breathing work classes and the lot. So that's what I'll be attending next week. But I mean, if I got a ticket to Electric Picnic, I'd be down there. Absolutely.
Wow. Bianca, thank you so much. That is Bianca Likes, who's editor-in-chief of VIP Magazine. Likewise, thank you to Mark Hennessy, who is Ireland and Britain editor of the Irish Times. Text today, towns big and small across Europe are alive because urban space is used above shops, etc. Ireland has its head in the sand. We need to wake up.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.